In this short excerpt from a hindsight called The Young Ones, we hear about the social conditions which led to the arrival of youth culture, and we hear from some of those who appeared to trigger the greatest moral panic at the time, the Bodgies and Widgies.
Sunday night was bad because you couldn't find anywhere. Everything shut down. So we would, a group of us, five or six couples, would take a gramophone and we'd go anywhere.
My mother called me Motorbike Kate. She did a lot of worrying about me, I can tell you.
10 guys like that give people the idea everybody drives a motorcycle is crazy. What are they trying to prove anyway?
First bike I had was an old 38 Twin Port one, a Twin Port area. People just say, oh yeah, here comes another bodgy, but it wasn't. It was just a cheap way of getting around, you know?
All week it builds up. Just the idea is to have a ball. Now, if you're going to stay cool, you got to wail. You got to put something down. You got to make some jive. Don't you know what I'm talking about?
You were sort of like a sub-creature if you dared to jive, because it had sort of just come in. It was young people. You just went there and you danced.
I wouldn't have called myself a wedgie in a fit.
We didn't see ourselves as bodgies and wedgies.
What are they trying to prove anyway?
Beats me. Looking for somebody to push them around so they can get sore and show how tough they are.
Police recently established a special bodgie squad.
I suppose a lot of it was about, you know, probably wanting to stand out a bit so the Sheilas noticed you.
Here were these young people who appeared to be out of control. They wore strange clothes. They drove motorbikes in gangs, they got into fights. It seemed that they had no morality when it came to sex whatsoever. And this was basically perceived to be the end of civilization as Australians knew it in the 1950s. The first group of Bodgies and Widgies really started as an effect of the American presence in Australia during the Second World War. What you have is a group of young people who find the American style of life, particularly the kinds of clothes that they that had come over from the United States, the kind of music that was being played, swing jazz that is, and the kind of dancing that was being done, the jitterbugging, as very attractive. They found it a kind of emotional release compared to the lifestyle that was dominant in Australia during the Second World War and in the immediate post-war period.
There are men, women and girls, lovely girls too, hundreds and hundreds of them. They've got paper hats on their heads, waving streamers, flags.
Hello, citizens. The war is over.
As I'm talking to you, there are dozens of these young girls down below just booing me, as a matter of fact, and yelling and shouting. Over in my right...
I was born in 1930, so consequently when I started my apprenticeship in 1944, I was 14 years of age and the war hadn't ended, and it ended when I was probably into my first year. Mm-hmm. And during that time I was learning to dance. I was learning to dance because of socially, with the clubs I was interested in, they wanted to raise money, so they taught the young people to dance. But I saw American... jitterbug at the local town hall. That we had a American Air Force squadron situated about 5 miles from here, and of course the local ladies were always with them and being courted by them, which offended us quite a bit even at that young age. But we used to go to the dance and watch it. And a mate of mine, we decided that we had been shown the basic steps by another friend who was into ballroom dancing, and the local ballroom dance schools here taught jive on the side.
Was it a bit Sus though, John?
Oh, sure. Mm. Yeah, it was pretty sus, all right. It wasn't sort of recognised. You were told to get off the floor, really.
The fact that these groups emerged so energetically in Brisbane, which had been like a garrison town during the war, but you got increased consumer spending, you got much better socioeconomic conditions for youth, you've got new products coming into the society from America, which are all, I think, coming together to create this new phenomenon of youth subculture.
At that stage, we used to dance probably three or four nights a week, you know.
What sort of music, then, could you jive to?
Anything. They used to say the only thing you can't jive to is the old-time waltz. Right, and you've got to remember that most dancers in those days were 60-40, but the dancers we'd go to, they'd put us into a corner. In fact, the Cloudland, the main dance spot in Brisbane, up on the hill, there was a roped-off corner.
Why were you roped off? Like, why were the jivers roped
off?
Well,
we interfered with proper dancing, you see. Elevator boogie. The big number that they used to play at Cloudland was specially for the jivers was the Elevator Boogie.
Some people used to think jitterbugging was awful, but that really started with Bodgies and Weegees again. And certainly Bodgies and Weegees did take up jitterbugging. But we were not part of that. I wouldn't have called myself a Weegee in a fit. That was definitely class. You could tell them by their strange dress and funny hairdos, and you never danced with them. They wore tan and white shoes, which my mother hated. You could tell by the tan and white shoes.
Dances we went to, the Roof Garden, which was the top of the Catholic Church, was Saturday nights and Wednesday nights. Town Hall was Friday night.
The particular band we had was the Tempos, and we would follow them around Brisbane. If they played three nights a week, we'd dance three nights a week to them. If they play four, we'd dance four. That was more. I mean, Kedron, they had a dance at Kedron RSL, and you couldn't jive. They banned it.
Hey, Johnny, look. The Squares are having a dance here in Corbinville tonight. We'll go, huh?
No, man, that's nowhere.
Ah, come on, we can clobber it.
Come on, Johnny. Let's go someplace.
Let's get out of here.
Every time you look around, there's cops.
Took me a fair while to get a motorbike, but those days, if as long as you were working, you could pay them off, you know.
How many of you'd go off on a bike, on the bikes? Half a dozen?
Depends. Sometimes it'd be up to 12, 15 bikes, you know. Sometimes it'd only be two or three. But you'd never go on your own, you know. Mob your boys and girls.
And the girls would ride pinion?
Yeah.
Yeah,
all right. Yeah, quite often a lot of them had learned to ride the bike and you'd let them ride it, you know.
And it's wonderfully free feeling. No helmets. They had leather jackets. I didn't have a leather jacket, but I had leather gloves.
Coppers used to hassle you.
No?
Yeah, only because they had nothing else better to do.
People used to say, oh, yeah, here comes another bodgy, but it wasn't. It was just a cheap way of getting around, you know.
The bodgy. Jay McDonald. BA Honours Thesis, Anthropology Department, Sydney University, 1951. The first wave bodgies whom I have identified in my study all share similar cultural obsessions for such things as record clubs, jam sessions, jazz concerts, jitterbugging, dance halls and jazz bands. Cornell Wilde hairstyles were favoured, and cleanliness and neatness were virtues that were strictly followed by the bodgies whom I observed. The finishing touch was added by their peculiar posture in walking and standing.
Bodgy, noun, colloquial. One of a group of young men usually dressed in an extreme fashion, especially tight trousers and slicked back hair, and given to wild, delinquent behaviour. From bodgy, as applied to inferior cloth passed off as American fabric, widgie, noun, colloquial. Refers to a female bodgy.
There's a lot of problem hanging over the issue of what exactly is a bodgie. And the press, of course, the media, were describing these people in very, very broad terms. Mm-hmm. If youth dressed a certain way, they could be called a bodgie. If they behaved in certain ways, perhaps they might be called a bodgie. If they wore their hair long, they could be called a bodgie. What exactly was a bodgie, and how many youths were simply dressing to look that way?
What did you wear jiving?
Crepe soles, pretty thick crepe soles, crepes up to probably a good inch thick. I even had blue suede shoes at one stage.
Geez, we had some terrific bodgy clothes, and the clothing trend was becoming Americanised. We all wore two-tone black and white full-drape Las Vegas jackets. Man, they were cool. The big padded shoulders made us look wider and tougher. And we wore black shirts with a white t-shirt showing underneath and a pair of black pegged 14-inch pants. Our shoes were usually made of 1-inch crepe soles, the thickest you could buy.
Lyle went out and bought a black shirt and a motorbike, and the neighbours took to calling him a bodgie. Then one morning, Lola saw Lyle fly past on his motorbike, and she told Brownie that there was at least one other man in Brisbane who was a sharp dresser.
Cole was a good dresser. Sharp. Sharp. So was John. My steady boyfriend, who's my ex-husband. Yes, oh, definitely. The strides had to have a crease in them. And John and I came off the bike, I think it was 4th Avenue one night, and we skidded in gravel. And I was sitting on the ground, and the bike's over, and he gets up and says, "Oh, Jesus, look at me strides. I'm sitting there on me bottom, pushing up. Look at me strides. Strides, something would happen to the strides."
"What do you do? I mean, do you just ride around, or do you go on some sort of a picnic or something?"
"A picnic? Man, you are too square. I have to straighten you out. You don't go any one special place. That's cornball style. You just go.
I suppose the key thing about the group that emerged with the shift from, if you like, the first generation of bodgies and widgies to the second generation, that is to say the group that really starts in the early 1950s and runs pretty much through the 1950s, is that it's much more an impact of American lifestyles coming over without Americans being here.
"You'll wonder where the yellow went when you got your secret
trash band. Trad by Julius Malu. The way I chew that fits."
The key thing here is consumption, that these young people, primarily working class kids, for the first time really were celebrating consumption. They were looking for new mass-produced clothes to wear. They were looking for new leisure activities that they could spend their money on. I mean, films that were, if you like, directed to young people. And they were looking for new kinds of music and new kinds of dancing, rather than, again, listening to the kinds of music, doing the kinds of dancing that their parents did. So for the first time in Australia, really, you have a large group of young people spread across the population, primarily working class, who are not doing the kinds of things that their parents do, who, in fact, are doing quite different things.
"Hey, what do you do around here? Anything ever happen?"
"Oh, yes."
"Like what?"
"Roses grow."
"Oh, roses grow.
People get married."
Married.
"Crazy as any place else."
"What about TV? You like TV?"
"What?" "New thing, Jim. Television. Everything these days is pictures. Pictures and a lot of noise. Nobody even knows how to talk."
I mean, they used to banter their bodgies and widgies around, but it was just different. There was people, I suppose, were bodgies and widgies. We all wore our hair back and we had the kiss curls around the front of the hair and the bill cream. And
I had one hairdresser that was the only man in Melbourne I'd allowed to put a pair of scissors to my head, and my hair was cut regularly every 2 weeks. The ducktail in the back had to meet precisely. If a hair overlapped, I was unhappy. We were pretty fussy about our appearance then.
Bodgy. Noun. Colloquial.
My memory is walking into the kitchen and turning on the radio, and rock and roll had to be sort of loud, and my father walking through and turning it down or switching the station. And it was an ongoing battle in our house. It was unspoken, but it was, I'd flick it on, Dad would flick it off.
Brisbane Courier Mail, July 20. Today, Lord Mayor Groom prohibited rock and roll dancing at City Hall. Police Minister warned young people in the city to beware of congregating in public. Let the bodgies out there be warned. We will spare no effort to rid Brisbane of this menace.
The campaign against bodgies and the campaign against rock and roll music and rock and roll culture was pretty intense, and there was quite a struggle waged by teenagers to establish their culture.
After Lola and Brownie had moved in with Lyle and Mavis, the big old house in the West End became a scene of cheerful, if bizarre, domesticity. Lola would sit on the top of the front steps, clad in her matador pants and skin-tight sweater, the little old battery-set wireless set beside her. Brownie worked on repairs on the roof, stripped to the waist in his pegged pants, hot under the blazing Brisbane sun. All this hit parade and young masculinity stirred the neighbours into a frenzy of indignation. They spoke of the bodgies living down in number 20 as though they were a collection of dangerous and habitual criminals.
I rarely went to a dance sober.
And what were you drinking?
Wine.
Right.
Well, beer at the pub, but we took wine to the dances. Penfolds Royal Reserve, McWilliams Dry Sherry, 111 and 2 and 6, I can't tell you which was which, but one that we used to say around the world for 111. I had my first bottle of wine when I was 14.
Well, I think my first drink was banana cocktail.
What was in it?
Oh, I don't know, some banana flavoured, and used to come in a funny little shaped bottle, you know, and I think that was my first drink, I think.
There was a plug over here at Childs' Winery. We used to go over there and we'd buy wine, big bottle of wine, for 2 and 6 pence.
Yeah, I had my first drink at the Seaview Hotel up here, sitting on a motorbike on the pillion, and a shandy was brought out from the public bar.
Herald, Melbourne. Senior police officer today said that there had been many reports of sex orgies, vandalism, some teenagers in a house in South Melbourne acting in a manner suggesting they had taken sex drugs.
What would people say? What would people do? What you get in the media is of course, a reflection of what's basically middle-class anxiety. That the middle classes see these working class young people behaving in ways that the middle class consider to be immoral. The reiteration in a lot of newspaper reports that these bodgies and widgies were taking sex drugs, or perhaps in particular that bodgies were giving young women sex drugs and turning them into widgies.
Suburbia was about sex was a pretty, you know, very, there was big divisions between the big, what would you just say, you know, you're flat out fine on it, you know, most of the time. But when I got to the bike era, you know, I think every girl I had at that stage was fairly prosperous. And that's probably why I mixed with them.
Thanks, with me, girls. The reproductive organ. Good girls. Now, we don't let anybody touch anywhere near these special parts of our body. Now, we know how important they are. And the only people we let touch are my mother or the doctor.
It was about being young and being mobile. It was about, you know.
Why do you think then there was so much public opprobrium, so much public criticism of these groups of young people?
A threat, direct threat to middle-class mores.
War was such an invasive thing that you didn't really know what social graces were right, you know. I mean, it was so disruptive.
After the Second World War, Australian society saw itself as moving back to the kind of society that Australia had been before the Second World War. That is to say that the kinds of changes that had taken place, the new kinds of music, the new kinds of dancing, the changes in moral attitudes and so forth, that all these things would go away when the Americans went away, and that Australia could go back to being almost, if you like, a hermetically sealed country away from the rest of the world. And what happened during the 1950s, or what was expressed, if you like, through the development of the second group of Bodgies and Widgies, was an increasing recognition that this couldn't happen, an increasing recognition that Australia was going to be transformed in some major and fundamental ways. And that produced great fear.
They all turned and looked at Lola as she came swishing into Dan's in her spreading skirts and high-heeled scuffs, her breasts half-naked, her eyes drowned in mascara and her hair caught back in a ponytail. Lola was a scene stealer in any Bodgie's book. The jukebox in Dan's blared out, 17, 17, cool and solid 17.
In that excerpt from the Young Ones feature, you heard historian Raymond Evans from Griffith University and John Stratton from Curtin University. Thanks to all those who shared their memories of youth culture and of being marked as Bodgies and Widgies in 50s Australia. The readings were by Tracy Mann from the novel The Delinquents by Karina Rowan. And more info, as usual, can be found on the Hindsight webpage at abc.net.au/radionational.